Well, Dan was mentioning how that atheists and skeptics of old and even now feel like that our religion is a crutch. My answer to that is, what's a cripple to do without his crutch? Yes, I'll just acknowledge that I need the Lord. I'm crippled and lame without his strength. But I'm thankful, and as he said, it's a reality how he helps us. The help that we receive from the Lord is real. It's not imaginary. It's not something that we just come to church and have fantasies and imaginary things, but these things are really true. The Lord really does help us. And I'm thankful for how the scriptures this morning are here to help us. I'm not sure where to start. Sometimes I start in a chronological order and sometimes no. I don't suppose it matters. But we're going to speak about the different times that God's people through the ages, and we may not be comprehensive in it, I may not reach all of the scriptures, but there have been times in the history of the Bible that the God's people had great odds and great obstacles and great things to surmount, difficulties, jobs to do. And it's been an encouragement to read what God said to them at those times. So I want to read here in the book of Joshua. He gave Joshua promises. He gave him charge. He gave him a job to do. And it was a great one. And Moses had accomplished his part, and now it's passed on to his servant, the younger man. I don't know how old Joshua was at the time that Moses died. It says that Joshua was full of spirit of wisdom. We certainly would need that, because Moses had laid his hands upon him. He had passed on his gift to Joshua. And so the Lord came to him after Moses died, the first chapter of Joshua, told him, "My servant is dead, now arise." And that's what happens with us many times, is that we've depended on people that have been strong, and we've kind of gone in their shadow and in their inspiration. But there comes a time that God says to us, "Now you arise. It's your turn, and you have this to do." So here he tells him, "As I was with Moses," verse 5, "I'll be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee." So then in verse 9, he said, well, verse 7, he says, "Only be thou strong." Be strong, verse 6, "and of a good courage." Verse 7, "Be thou strong and very courageous." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded thee?" Third time now, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Haven't those words echoed throughout time and have helped and blessed and encouraged many a soul that's been in need? So I want to speak to us this morning about the times that the Lord has said, "Be strong." And that was for Joshua. Now in the book of Judges, chapter 6, I believe it is, we read about another man who the children of Israel, let's see, how does it say in the beginning of Judges? What was the Judges chapter 2, Joshua died, and that generation of Joshua's was gathered unto their fathers. And it says in verse 10, "There arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord." So that was the atmosphere in this time that I'm going to read to you. They did evil. They didn't know his works. They forsook him. They forsook his worship, and they began to worship Baal. And they were judged. They were overcome by their enemies, the ones that they had driven out. they began to come back in and overcome them and made them to serve in bondage. Then they would cry to the Lord. The Lord would send a deliverer who would deliver them, and then he would rule them for a while, and then he would die or else slip back in. They would slip back. They did it time after time after time. And in Judges 6, the Midianites were ruling them 7 years, and the Israelites were having to be hide out in the mountains and the caves and the dens and the strongholds. They were having to just flee from their enemies. So they took their food. They just destroyed the land. It says in verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So then the Lord sent them a prophet, and he said, he told them why that they were in that condition. And then he began to move upon a young man, and the young man was there threshing wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites, to verse 11, chapter 6. So we have Gideon hiding out with his crops. And it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now we've observed before and preached on it how that God came to this young man and called him a mighty man of valor. Gideon was hiding. He was threshing his wheat in hiding. He probably felt rather not valiant. He didn't feel very strong at this point, but the Lord called him a mighty man of valor. Now you could say this for him. He wasn't just doing nothing. He was threshing wheat. So the Lord looked at that and said, yeah, you may be hiding, but down inside of you is a strong heart that keeps on going. And then he said in verse 14, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. We know, I won't go into all the story, but what I wanted to get was that the Lord told him, you're strong. You're a mighty man of valor. And the Lord will do that many times for us. He'll come to us and he'll say, go. You're strong. You can do this. Another, let's see, I missed the one I wanted to get there. In Numbers chapter 13. Here we have Caleb and Joshua who came back with the other 10. And the other people said, these people are greater than us. People are strong. The cities are walled. And it said, we're not able to go up. They're stronger than we are. This is Numbers 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He's saying here, we're strong. We can do this. And the reason why Caleb was able to say this is because he knew that God is able. But he was a man, he and Joshua, both of them, the Lord said, these two had another spirit. Caleb had another spirit. He followed me fully. So I think that the Lord, looking down in our hearts, we may feel weak. We may feel like the task is too great and we can't do it. But when the Lord sees a heart that is willing, a heart that means to follow, a heart that that will go ahead and do what I can, as we brought out last Sunday. Do what you can. Don't be afraid. Don't withhold your hand. Give. Give liberally. That's the message last Sunday. But this time, he's saying, you're well able. Say you're strong. The Lord says to you, you're strong. You're a mighty man of valor, even though you and I may not feel like it. And so he says to us, as he said to Joshua, yes, that those that you depended on and trusted in, they're gone. But you be strong. You be encouraged. I'll be with you. And that is our secret. Caleb had it. Gideon had it. Joshua had it. That knowledge that the Lord's able, I'm able. We can say we're strong. Now, I want to go to another man who had a task before him in the book of Daniel. Let's see. I was wanting to get this one in chronological order. I believe. Let's see. Yes, turn first to Daniel. Now, where was Daniel? Daniel was a captive in Babylon, had already been ruled by the Babylonians. Now the next kingdom had taken it, the Medes and the Persians. He was in the first year of Darius, one of the Persian kings. And he's in quite a position. He has a position of authority in the kingdom. He is advisor. He's someone who God is revealing things to. He had a job to write down the things that the Lord revealed to. And he felt very unable. He was fasting here 3 weeks. He said in chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. So it sounds like he ate unleavened bread and water for 3 weeks. And he was praying. It records his prayers. It tells how that he had the vision and he was so weak and he felt so unable. Verse 8, he saw this great vision. He said, there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he told him, fear not, Daniel, I've heard you. From the beginning of your 3 weeks that you started fasting, I was there. But I was fighting with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. We can read how that was Cyrus, who at that time God moved to help the children of Israel. That's another story. But anyway, it says when he had spoken, verse 15, when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. I believe that was the glorified or the Christ who was before he became here on earth. He would appear to God's people throughout the years. He came to Daniel. He said, I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I retain no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? As for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. It's at the times that we feel our least and our weakest, that's when the Lord comes in and he touches us. And those times are real. It's no imagination. When he comes, he gives us strength. He touches us immediately. There's strength that we did not have. And listen to what he said. He said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Oh, thank the Lord. First he looks at you, and he says, You're strong. And then he says, Fear not, be strong. And not only that, but he touches you and he strengthens you. These are the wonderful things about the Lord. There were others that had quite a job here in the book of Haggai. We read that he's talking to the children of Israel through these prophets. And here's what he tells them. Now, what was their task? Their task was to take the ruins of Jerusalem, their homes, the walls, and the temple, and rebuild. That's quite a task, isn't it? And here they needed the Lord to touch them. When we need the Lord to strengthen us and touch us, we can count on that he will. But here's what he wants us to do. Here he says in Haggai, he lets him know, chapter 1, verse 13, I'm with you. And then he stirred their spirit up. In verse 14, the Lord stirred up the spirit of their leader, Zerubbabel, and the spirit of the high priest, Joshua. This is another Joshua. And the spirit of all the rest of the people that were left from those that had been carried into the captivity. It says, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts. And he says here in chapter 2, verse 4, they had already begun. They had already been willing. They came, the Lord stirred up their spirit. And now he's saying, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I am so thankful for these times when the Lord comes to us with the task at hand, and he says, be strong. And he not only says that, but he touches us, and he strengthens us, and he tells us, you're strong. But he wants us to go ahead and work. I think in Zechariah, the next book over, these two prophets prophesied at about the same time. Haggai, it says, in the second year of Darius the king. In this prophet Zechariah, it says, in the eighth month. Now Darius, let's see, Haggai was in the sixth month. So 2 months later, the Lord comes to yet another prophet, to this same people. At this same time, he comes to Zechariah. And he's saying again, look at this. Where did I had it? Where it said, be strong. Chapter 8, verse 13, verse 9 and verse 13. Thus saith the Lord in verse 9. Of hosts, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, the house of Israel, and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Oh, these people had quite a job to do. Now, I believe it was after this, the book of Nehemiah is not in order. It should be around the time of these prophets, a little bit after. Nehemiah had a burden for Jerusalem as well. He wasn't just the prophet, but he was one that the Lord sent to actually organize and do the work. He had a burden. The Lord worked it out, gave him favor in the eyes of the king, and he went to Jerusalem. What kind of opposition did he meet? I love the book of Nehemiah. And if you ever feel opposition, and you need some encouragement, read the book of Nehemiah. There were three enemies, a Horonite, what was his name, Sanballat, Tobiah, the servant, he was an Ammonite, ancient enemies of Israel. These men had been around, these enemies had been troubling God's people. The Ammonites were descendants of Lot, the Ammonites and the Moabites. And then you have also Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 19, Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian. So you have a descendant of Ishmael and a descendant of Lot, and all of these ancient enemies of the children of Israel. Here they pop up at the building of the temple. And here's what kind of opposition. They mocked him, chapter 4. When Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was angry, or he was wroth, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And here's what he said. What do these feeble Jews? He's calling them weak, feeble. They can't do anything. He said, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? What he's saying, he's calling out all of their weaknesses. Do they have any weapons? How are they going to do this? Will they make sacrifices? They don't have any animals. They don't have any weapons. How are they going to do this? Then he says, will they make an end in a day? What do they expect to accomplish? Are they trying to work miracles? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Look at how he mocked. Then the other guy, Tobiah, the Ammonite, he said, well, even if a fox goes up on the wall, it'll break. That's the kind of opposition, and that's what kind sometimes that we'll have to people who say things and laugh and do things. Well, they took it to the Lord. In verse 6, it says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together. Now, I think I missed something in the last... Yes, before this, what he said in chapter 2. When these fellows came and were trying to cause some trouble, Nehemiah in chapter 2 went out to Jerusalem, and he went out at night. These scenes are just so real as you look at them. Just to think about, this was a real man. This was a man single-handedly trying to gather anyone who would volunteer and help him. And here it's so hard and difficult that he goes out by night so that the enemies would not be able to see what he was doing. He went out and he looked, he viewed it. He came back, he told the rulers, verse 16. He said, you see the distress we're in? Verse 17. Verse 18, I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And that encouraged them. And here's what they said. And they said, let us rise up and build. So this is what the Lord did for them. They looked at all of that and they said inside themselves, let's do it. Let's rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I see something where it takes the Lord, but it does take us. It takes us having, for Gideon to go ahead and go thresh his wheat while the Midianites were around. He did it by night. He did it in secret. And the Lord came and said, I'm with you. You're strong. I believe the Lord sees how that we don't feel like we can do it, but we strengthen ourselves anyway to say, let's do it. A resolve, a decision, we must have that. But the Lord then comes and says, don't fear, be strong. And he strengthens us. He takes that endeavor, he takes that resolve and that decision, and he's the one that gives the energy, he gives the power. But I don't see him doing that with people that were slackers. I don't see him doing it with people who didn't try. I see him doing it with people who say, I believe we can. I believe we can do it. Let's do it. And they do it feeling weak, feeling bad. They do it with all kinds of obstacles, with all kinds of enemies. But they say, let's do it. That's very important. They said, let us rise and build. Then in, I want to go to Zechariah now, back here, where he said, fear not, but let your hands be strong. And what was it that he had said in Haggai? Be strong and work. Let your hands be strong. Take the strength that I'm giving to you. Don't let it be wasted. You begin, I'll begin. You start, I'll start. And it's like the Lord, he works, we work together. And we do what the Lord wants us to do. Then I was reminded of Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is. No, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul speaking of his obstacles and his trials. And he had something that he said God gave him something. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. 12 and verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. He correctly identified his battle and why it was given to him. He still asked for the Lord to take it away. It must have been really hard, is all I can say. Because he recognized it, he thought, I need this. This is going to help me to stay humble. But it must have been so very hard that he asked the Lord, take it away. This is really, I don't know what it was. He asked the Lord to take it away and it didn't go away. So he came again. He asked the Lord three times to take it away. And here's what the Lord said to him. My grace, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Can you see this pattern that we've seen in these scriptures? How that in a time of negativism, in a time of adversity, in a time of real fear, and enemies mocking, that God would call on us to go forward, to rise up, to build, to work for him, and we're in this weakness. But yet his word calls for us to be strong. And so then he lets us know it's in your weakness that you're strong. Now, that's a new concept for people, like for us. It's something that we wouldn't really know about. But God's ways are higher than our ways. This is how he works. He works in and through us when we don't feel so strong. That's when we see the Lord taking over. That's when we see him really putting power and strength in us. Paul then told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, endure hardness or hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can be strong, is in his grace. I missed one in Isaiah I want to go back and get. Let's see. Isaiah. Chapter 35. Verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Another one was in the one of the prophets back here. Let me see if I can find it. I believe it's in Joel, the last part of the book of Joel. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10. He was asking his people to prepare for war. And he said, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. So the Lord says to you, you're strong. He wants you to say, I'm strong. Not only, not just that you're strong in yourself, but this process that we've been reading about. He wants us to rise up in our weakness, to rise up and say, in the Lord, we are strong. We can do this. I can do this because the Lord is able. Let the weak say, I am strong. And then he wants us to encourage others. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. You have to come through that whole process before you can do that. Before you can encourage someone else and say, you can do this, it's got to come and be happening in you too. The Lord is so wonderful to us, to give us just what we need at these times, to strengthen us. And he's done that for me this week. This is why I can tell you this morning, this really works, because the Lord has done this for me. He has taken times where I've thought, I cannot do this. I don't have the strength to do this. And the Lord is saying, rise up, go ahead, and do this. And then as you're working, it's like the Lord puts in the strength. Many, many times, that's what happens. So I want to thank the Lord for these promises and trust they'll be a blessing to you today.